News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 8.07 on FM Talk 106.5. It's settled. Spiro Chirgatis is going to be the next mayor of Mobile after, 12 years of Sandy Simpson?
Mm-hmm. Right? It's been a while.
It's been a while. So this is the guy who kind of seems to be the fellow who, well, he was certainly endorsed by Simpson. It would appear to be that we can expect more of the same.
I think Simpson literally passed a baton last night. Mm. I think he had a baton ready at the party and
probably
handed it on over.
Their relationship was not always that from the beginning. It took months for Spiro Chirgatis to get his endorsement, or at least public endorsement. But what's done is done.
And let's do this. Hats off. Big round of applause. Any other compliments I can give out to the voters in the city of Mobile?
Yeah.
Not all the voters, but there were enough to have that many more votes yesterday than the August 26th general is just amazing and fascinating to me as well, because you know, we were getting the text yesterday morning that we ask for every election day. What's it looking like at your polling place? How's it look different from the last time you were there? And it's all guessing, right? At least from this perch, and when you kind of take different accounts into consideration. But it did seem that we were getting texts yesterday from you guys that the polling places were busier or as busy as they were back on August 26th, and that really ended up being the case. I know in the Lanyap story, when they wrote this up, they had it listed at 47,376 voters for yesterday. KRG has a little bit a different number here, total, because they have the current count at 25,106 for Spiro and 23,715 for Drummond, which would put it actually a little bit closer to 49,000 that turned out and voted. So around 31, maybe 32% voter turnout, which could be better, obviously. But when we had a 26% turnout, while there were four candidates in the race for mayor of Mobile, and you had city council races also on the ballot.
True.
It's pretty amazing to me there were more that turned out yesterday. And just talking to some of you over the last 4 weeks, you planned this the entire time. You said, I knew it would go to a runoff, and I was waiting for that runoff to actually get out there and vote. So more people turned out. I'm sure some city council members would have appreciated a larger turnout back on August 26th, but
Whoever lost.
Yeah, whoever lost definitely would have liked to see a bigger turnout.
Yeah.
But Spiro
won, we're fine.
Spiro ends up winning, and potentially right now, maybe by 1,500 votes, could be 2,000 by the time they end up counting this whole thing up. So
we're going to get to a number of things from yesterday, including my experience. And on the text line, you can talk about your experience voting as well. So Chirgatis, at the end, this is pretty standard stuff. He talked about the campaign. He thanked those who were part of the campaign because obviously they had a team in place. They had money in place for sure. And in the end, he wanted to give thanks.
We said this would be a campaign for Mobilians run by Mobilians. We believed in the wisdom and strength of the people of this city. And tonight, the people of Mobile have spoken.
I was a little before 9 o'clock last night or thereabouts when they kind of had it all settled.
Mm-hmm.
And
you and I started texting back and forth.
8:30?
Yeah, around 8:30, and I was following, I think, Brendan Kirby or John Sharper. I was definitely seeing whatever both had to say, and it was close. Because I think what I told you was...
You said, get out of bed.
I said, get out of bed and check it out right now. About a 700-vote spread, and they're not done counting.
That's right. That's what you did say, yes.
It wasn't long after that the Spiro camp felt they had the numbers they needed, and then, of course, with Drummond's concession speech, that was made it official.
And everybody in the end played very nice, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was good. Drummond was seemed to be the remarks I saw. She was gracious in her loss.
Yeah, she said, here's some of her words. I want to thank Mobile because we gave a hell of a run. I want to thank each of you, and I certainly extend my congratulations to our new mayor, Spiro Chiragatis. It's time for Mobile to come together. We had a good run, and it was a very, very tight, but we didn't prevail, guys. She said, this was never about Barbara. This was about us and Mobile. So I don't want anybody to look down because we did good, and we thank God for that. It's time that we now unite Mobile because the future that we saw on Team Drummond for Mobile, it still exists, and it's going to take all of us to change this trajectory. Those were her words.
It's the kind of words I like to hear from the person that finishes second. Here's Spiro. He's the guy that finished first.
This victory does not belong to me. This victory belongs to every single person in this room. Every single person who went out and cast a vote, called a friend, texted a friend, every person who donated a dollar, every person who showed up at the polls today, this is your win. Thank you.
So at noontime yesterday, the conversation was a little different. And I'm kind of surprised that, as it turns out, I guess it wasn't as widespread a glitch in the system, but people were experiencing problems at the polling places similar to what happened to me. So when I went to vote, the same place as I voted last month, I came up on their voting
rolls.
On the rolls, I was considered non-active, mm-hmm. Which means...
And you work out every day. You're the most active voter I know, actually.
But that does mean you haven't voted in 4 years, which I didn't even know what that meant. But so I'm like, no, because... And they were like, oh, I remember you came... They remembered me coming a month ago.
You made a scene.
I made a scene there because people were saying, hey, we listen to you guys in the morning and all this. And so they were happy to see somebody that they actually hear talking about the election, casting a ballot. Then I autographed several ballots.
They said you were an inactive voter.
Inactive voter. So now, so they checked with downtown and they called downtown and were given whatever information. And that, at that point they said, go ahead and get him to fill out a provisional ballot, mm-hmm. which was not necessarily difficult. It was a little confusing and I wanted to make sure that I got it all correct. Like your address, like, you know, information I certainly have on hand, mm-hmm. Driver's license number and all that stuff, but you have to fill it out twice and it takes a few minutes to make sure you got it all right. You know how those things are too. There's not enough room on the line to get in the information that you're trying to write in.
And it's so funny the way you've put it that it was intense. You want to make sure you get everything right.
It's like
making sure that you lock the door before you leave. You go, okay, I know that's my address, but did I write it down correctly?
Did I unplug the iron before I left this morning? Did I get that address right? I had to write down my birthplace. Mm-hmm. County and state and all that stuff.
Wow. Did they ask you to write down the reason you were voting for who you were voting for, too?
they didn't ask me that.
An essay question.
No, they didn't ask me that. And then you take that and you put it in an envelope and put the envelope in another envelope. It's got your name on it and you put it in the provisional stack or whatever. Evidently, there were 19 others to that point that morning.
At that one location.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, you know, if you start doing some multiplication, you're thinking how many provisional ballots are going to be out there. Maybe it turned out that evidently the Spiro campaign was aware of the glitch. The city, they were all aware of the glitch. Mm-hmm. My problem was not the only one. I came up as being inactive. Other people were at the wrong place or whatever.
Yeah, you know? And they we've seen stories that they were at the wrong place. But they were told to go there via the mailer, right?
And so as far as the mailer, I only got the mailer one time.
Before the August 26th.
So I just assumed I went back to the same place. I don't remember getting a mailer in between.
I don't think
so. So anyway, that's what I was... When these things happen, I initially, because of my history with myself, I blame myself. You know, it's kind of like, it's probably on me. But they were assuring me, no, you're in the right place. So I was just wondering, you know, how many other people had that kind of problem.
And we know that other locations were, apparently, because we were getting texts from people that were dealing with the same issue yesterday.
Right.
But 1819 News dug in on this during the election yesterday. They had Erica writing about this, Erica Thomas, and she spoke with Jason Johnson, Director of Communications for the city. He initially told 1819 the voter rolls that showed the voters as inactive came from the Secretary of State's office. However, the Mobile County Board of Registrars is responsible for updating voting credentials and changing voter status. Johnson later said the voter rolls that the city clerk receives come through the Board of Registrars office, which is also a state entity. Johnson said the city does not maintain or oversee the list of registered voters. Erica writes, however, there was another issue on voting day. The proper procedure for inactive voters is to provide them with a voter registration update form, then allow them to vote on a regular ballot. However, the 10X electronic poll book used by poll workers was only allowing those voters to gain access to provisional ballots.
Yeah.
So you should have been able to fill out a regular ballot, and then once they cleared you as a voter, go ahead and count that.
Right.
The voters cast their provisional ballots but remained concerned about why their status had been changed to inactive. Erica continues, Mobile City Clerk Lisa Lambert was made aware of the issue and was able to resolve the technical glitch, and then no further issues reported yesterday afternoon. It remains unclear how many voters were affected. So this is something, I mean, they have to clean this up. You know,
yeah, mine was the last such problem at that precinct. I think. I don't know for that for sure, but I'm wondering if I was among the last problems. I was among the last. Two things to me is, like, why was I suddenly deemed to be inactive? Why me? I don't know. And also I was concerned that my vote was, when you vote, you have confidence it's all going to go through. You see it zip into the machine and all, and you feel good about it.
Yeah.
When you do a provisional ballot, this is the first time I've ever had this.
You feel like maybe no one will even open it.
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It doesn't matter.
And so that was the feeling in my belly when I'm riding back and listening to Jeff talk to people on the text line and recognizing that there were other problems out there. And so I was bouncing it around in my head, like, should I be angry? Should I be concerned? I think I was a little bit angry.
You
the whole
seemed
thing
that
happened.
Way. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be an a-hole, but it was like, what's going on?
Yeah. And you weren't alone in that feeling, obviously. So yeah. Hopefully that's something we hear a little bit more about, you know, efforts to make sure that that doesn't happen again or as widespread as it appears to have been.
And since it happened to me personally, I want to know why. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened?
Yeah. I think those are easy questions to ask and hopefully easy enough to answer. Now, as far as where all the votes went, and there was some great analysis earlier on the text line, and I've lost it. I apologize to the texter that was kind of breaking this down on their own right. But let's do it here, because you look back at August 26th, and we had, 41,481 turn out to vote then. And Drummond, of course, led the way in that four-way race with nearly 14,000 votes. Spiro had around 11,500. And then Prine followed with 8,200 and Connie Hudson with 7,759. So you had between Prine and Hudson, there were 15,000, let's call it 16,000 votes that were out there, right, for either Spiro or Barbara.
Right.
Those people didn't have to go to the poll, but if they did, they'd be changing their vote from either Prine or Hudson and giving it to either Drummond or Cherry Gatta. So you have 16,000 in that pool. If you had 7,000 more people, let's say 7,000, it could be 8,000 that turned out yesterday, we're talking around 23,000 votes that Drummond and Spiro had to fight for. And Drummond, you remember, came out of that August 26th with about a 2,500 vote lead. So when Spiro yesterday, and the numbers I have again from WKRG, he had 25,106 votes last night to Drummond's 23,715. That means Spiro increased his votes by about 14,000, and Drummond increased hers by about 12,000. My numbers there, I guess, don't exactly add up with the votes that were left on the table after that August 26th. But that was, I guess you could call it a come-from-behind win for Spiro.
It was.
He pulled enough of those Prine votes and Hudson votes. I don't know what the overall percentage will be, and that would be an interesting poll to kind of look at afterwards, an exit poll of sorts. But he pulled enough of that percentage and then enough of the new voters to turn a 2,500 vote deficit into a 1,500 vote win, maybe a 2,000 vote win.
And were the precincts in favor that were that favored Spiro, did they have a larger percentage turnout than the precincts where Drummond was hoping to get her votes?
I'd like to see those numbers,
I'd like to see that, too. Yeah. Did they have a disappointing turnout in the people that Barbara felt in the communities that she thought would vote for her?
Yeah, good question. Freddie says, well, my first foray into city politics has been positive. I supported both people I thought would do the best job and both won. I based my decision on listening to them and then participating in their campaigns. I love this, too. We had a ton of listeners actually participating in campaigns this year. I mean, not just this year, but it's notable to me how many of you were out there knocking on doors over the summer. Ultra Runner, there we go. Thank you. This was Ultra Runner. He said, Spiro performed as expected by adding 90% of Hudson and Prine voters to his total. Drummond was able to generate a shocking 10,000 new voters. He says she had a superior get-out-the-vote apparatus, and Republicans were apathetic. That's maybe that's true, but that's not the feeling I got coming after last night for Spiro to turn out more votes. But anywhere that gets a 31-32% turnout, you can always argue that you have apathetic voters because, well, 70% of the registered voters aren't turning out to vote, even if that's a relatively good number. Jason says, good morning. Mobile dodged a bullet yesterday, and did y'all hear Drummond lying about running this race with no money? She somehow failed to acknowledge the money pumped into the race by the DNC and the PACs. I'm still looking forward to hearing from Paul Prine and his thoughts.
Yeah. Also, again, Spiro Chirogatis won this race without the endorsement of either Hudson or Prine. That probably could have gone a long way
in securing
some of those votes. I don't know. Anyway.
Also, did Kamala Harris give the Drummond campaign the kiss of death by referencing her as a rising star the night before the election? Buttigieg, Booker, Kamala, other big-name Democrats endorsed, and that wasn't enough to win a municipal race in Mobile.
Facts. Very active text line this morning, 251-343-0106. We're up against the news here coming up at 8:30. It's on the way.
It's not an inactive text line, that's for sure.
No.
You're an inactive voter. Inactive text line. Cindy says, I'm a poll worker in Fair Oak, and it usually is the voter's fault. You would say that, Cindy. She says, not in Dan's case. It was definitely a problem on the voter rolls. Usually a voter shows up at the wrong place or has changed addresses or something, and they get mad at us. Said, Dan, if you move to Baldwin County, I'll take care of you.
So, I know she will.
There you go, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
Another texter, they are saving Dan's ballot in case they need an extra one in Atlanta. That's a good theory. Hal says, quote, more of the same will be the death of Mobile under Stimson. Mobile has steadily lost population, not to mention the mayor who promised safest city in America by 2020 leaves office with the city nowhere, where nowhere is safe. Stimson has been a disaster for DIP. But then Hal continues, I voted for Cheerio, he says, because the alternative called me a racist years ago for campaigning for Stimson on DIP. So sounds like Hal voted for Spiro, but with reservations.
Okay. He got some hard feelings against Drummond as well.
Leo said Mobile really dodged a bullet in this election. Can you imagine a Mobile mayor that accepted Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, and Kamala Harris's endorsement? Talk about bad decision making.
Well, we could see all three of them, four of them at Wenzel's one day visiting. That'd be so nice. 8:30.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 835 on FM Talk 106.5. Coming back to the text line, 251-343-0106 here in just a minute. Let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Football's back. Underdog is the best place to select entries and win money, and you can do it all season long. And you can play right now in Alabama, just as I've been doing for a very long time now. Playing on Underdog is easy. All you have to do is choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. And they have more than just football on there. Of course, they have both college and pro football, but MLB season's still going on. We'll have hockey and basketball here soon. Get your entries right. You could win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. And I've said it before, one of my favorite things about playing with Underdog is during these games you're watching, you can watch your entries in real time on the app or on the website, and you can see how many yards that player has or how many touchdowns that quarterback has thrown for, and you know when your entry is a winner in real time. It's a lot of fun. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton. It's D-A-L-T-O-N. You'll score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make plays. Win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. And concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
On the text line, unnamed texter says, I was a poll watcher yesterday when Dan was told he was an inactive voter. We had 32 provisional ballots at his precinct with similar and other issues. Why can't we get this right with municipal elections? How many other voters at other precincts had the same issues? And that's the question I was asking. Evidently, not enough to concern the election results, as it turns out. Spiro may win by a couple of thousand.
It sounds like there was a large enough spread that a recount really isn't even necessary. Michael says, and we've talked about this some this morning, Michael, but yeah, it sounds like a terrible story coming out of Texas. Another ICE attack. Rooftop shooter has shot three people at a Dallas ICE facility and then offed himself. Yeah, we've been keeping tabs on that a little bit, Michael. But also, we were talking, because last night I was online, like always, instead of going to bed, I was online and I saw there was something going down between Antifa and ICE up in Eugene, Oregon. And it sounded like from the reports that Antifa was banging on windows and doors. Some said they were trying to seize the federal building, and then arrests were made. I think some pepper spray in the air, but not a single story except for on the social media that I was watching it on. And India Times, they're the only ones that have a story about that up this morning. So hopefully we'll get some more from that Eugene ICE facility. But that's back-to-back last night, and then this morning sounds like a much more serious attack on ICE officers.
It does. That story's out there, but you're right. The one in Eugene is not. It's not at Fox. It's not at Breitbart. It's in the India Times is the only place that Dalton found it on Twitter.
And that's because me and the India Times watch the same things on social media, I guess. This texter, an unnamed texter, Shady Sandy isn't to blame for the demise of 36605 and surrounding areas. That's on the community and the inabilities of CJ Small. He says, yet the community continues to vote him in while he maintains his little slice of property so he can keep his foothold. Texter continues, the best thing I did for my children was to move off of McVeigh. It was a beautiful piece of property with the most wonderful neighbors. But as soon as you left off our street, garbage and trap houses as far as the eyes can see. No sidewalks for the unsupervised children waiting at the bus stop. Drunks and bums at every gas station. All that from one texter. Let's see. B.A., I'm glad y'all got a new mayor, but I feel bad for y'all, Jeff and Sean, because for at least 4 years, you're going to have to say Mayor Charagatis.
Well, we got it.
I think we've got it.
We got it down.
And we'll get him on, and we'll have him say his name again. Another texter, I was a poll. He's like, I've been saying it 5 million times a day for the last 6 months. Like, get it together, guys. Texter here, I was a poll watcher. Okay, you got to that
you got
one.
Got that one, yeah.
Damn Yankee says, I just couldn't. Let's see. I'm having some trouble with some of these texts coming up. I just couldn't bring myself to vote for a mayor that wears a hair hat. Not really sure what you mean there, Damn Yankee. Let's see here. Your friendly neighborhood banker says, Prine is the only one of these candidates that went out bitterly, utterly classless. I'm not, I listened after Prine and Hudson lost on August 26th. I saw what they had to say afterwards. I don't recall him being necessarily a super sore loser.
No, we could have missed something. Give us an example on what we missed, but I thought Paul Prine was, I thought he was really good during the campaign. I thought he was really good during the campaign. I thought he was, I thought he took the loss. You know, that's a tough public thing to endure. Connie Hudson, same thing. That's tough.
Yeah.
Now, she's still in office, obviously, but
well, I remember Prine afterwards talking about the difference that having money in your campaign makes.
Yeah.
And that's a fact, right? And we've seen candidates with less money win races. It's not uncommon, but that's a, you're kind of handicapped if you're have less of a treasure chest, yeah. a war chest than the other candidates. And there's no way around it. Spiro had a much larger war chest than Drummond did here. And certainly Prine had the smallest of the war chests among the four candidates going into the August 26th. So I don't think he was off base saying money matters.
So we're here talking about this, and we are recalling things that we were talking about during the campaign, some on air, some off air. And you reminded me, and I'll say it now, yeah, I think that if Chirogatis had lost, it would have been an embarrassment.
Just about, right?
Because all that money, it would have been, it'd be like, how did that happen with all that money? And election experts, I'm not saying I'm one of them, will say, well, that's because of situation A and B, and also did you factor this in, Dan, and all that. I'm just saying that if you are an expert at getting people elected and you have that much more money than anybody else, you're endorsed by the current mayor, you got a lot of things on your side. To lose that election would have been, I do think, embarrassing.
Yeah. And was it the most efficient use of the campaign cash? I guess there's no way to 100% know that it was or wasn't, but we know it was enough to get him through.
It was efficient enough. And it probably wasn't the most efficient use of all that money, but he won.
Randy says, I was going to vote for Barbara Drummond, then I heard Kamala endorse her. Changed my vote to Spiro.
Wow.
He's joking. He sends a laugh emoji there.
Okay.
Let's see. Philip, and this was about 30 minutes ago. He says, there's something wet falling from the sky at South Alabama. I called the cops. So we're getting reports of a little bit of rain in different areas.
Okay, Philip, we're asking you not to panic.
Todd said I was jinxing us with some of the hurricane talk earlier. Listen, Todd, I'm the most anti-jinx. I'm very worried anytime I say something that Mother Nature could take and use against me. I try my best to stay out of that. So, but it has been a very strange hurricane season. So there's also that. 251-343-0106. We'll get to the rest of these texts and then hit on Trump at the UN General Assembly yesterday. Hal responds again. He says, I have no faith that Cherio is going to do better. I want to move, but I can't buy a house with what I would get for mine. Real estate has plunged down here.
I'll tell you, he's in a tough spot down there.
Angry Patriot says the broken down vehicle on the Bay Bridge is a Tesla, just saying. By the way, when we had our little flag football game over at Mobile Christian on Monday night, all the stars were out for the game. And I say that because there was a Cybertruck in the parking lot. So we were playing in front of some fancy people Monday night. When there's a Cybertruck at your game,
gee whiz,
you know, there's somebody around there who means business.
They want you to know that they're somebody.
Angry Patriot also said Spiro spent the most money. There are more campaign signs and people waving signs on Cottage Hill for him for sure. And Cheese Wagon, there he is. Folks were asking about Cheese Wagon earlier. He says, yeah, you have a Tesla Cybertruck broken down on the Bayway westbound at the 33-mile marker with a nice little picture. It looks like that Cybertruck is sponsored, if I'm looking at the tailgate correctly. Quinn Hillier chiming in, and he says he predicted yesterday's election almost to a T. He says, let me note that the day after the primary and again two nights before the runoff, I went on WKRG with Peter Albrecht and predicted Spiro would win with between 51 and 52% of the vote on air. He said, same thing I said on your show. And then he said, I said the same exact message about Ukraine winning that Trump adopted later in the day for the exact same reasons. And that's factual.
That's true.
We'll get to that here in just a minute.
He talked to somebody that seems to know his stuff about the Ukraine-Russia war.
And finally here, Rock and Roll Doctor says 1,300 votes ain't much difference considering $1.7 million war chest by the hair of his chinny chin chin. 251-343-0106 if you want to hop on and talk about the mayoral race. Also yesterday, this generated a ton of conversation. The way I understand it, Trump's speech at the UN General Assembly, now that they've entered, what do they call it, the high-level phase of the assembly?
Yes.
Because this has been going on since September 9th.
Right.
Now all the big dogs came to town.
Yep.
Did you see the video of the French President Macron? Or I think it was Macron, yeah, who they stopped traffic and stopped pedestrian traffic so that Trump's motorcade could come through, which left Macron stranded on the wrong side of the street. And there's a video of him speaking with NYPD officers saying, Hey, I don't know if you know who I am, but I need to be over there.
I saw something about that. He got trapped up in Trump's traffic. Right? Yeah,
but then you got like this NYPD, clearly a Cam Scataboo kind of fan here, telling the French president, hey, boss, you're going to need to wait over here just like everybody else.
Back in your car.
But
pipe down.
Trump wasn't treated much better as he made his entrance. And from what I understand, there was some talk from UN staffers there at that New York building about pulling something like this, pulling a stunt, because they feel that they've been underfunded by the Trump administration, and they wanted to show him
they were dissatisfied.
And so Melania Trump, the first lady, gets on the escalator to go up to, I guess, where he will be heading to make his speech, and Trump is right behind her. You have someone else that's probably 20 paces ahead of them on the escalator. And as soon as she gets on and goes up a couple steps riding the escalator, it just stops, jolts to a stop. And as Trump noted, he said if she wasn't in the shape she was in, she probably could have been really hurt. And then when you watch the video, she did snap forward once it stopped. And Trump, and then they kind of turned around. What's amazing to me, Trump, who's been shot and shot at multiple times over the last 18 months. If something like that happened and I'd already been shot and shot at, and then my escalator just stops, I would have seen so many invisible spiders here over the last 12 months. Every little sound, I'd be ducking and rolling. And
he's not wired that way.
Keeps it casual.
He's just not wired that way. It's amazing.
And so some people are saying Secret Service should have acted a little faster once that escalator shut down. But Melania and Trump walk on up. Then he begins his speech, which was set to be, as we know now, a very fiery speech directed at the UN. And his teleprompter's not working. So he starts pulling out the script of his speech that's in a book, and he's buying time as that happens. Here's Trump as he started his speech.
And I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter, because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you nevertheless, and that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble.
Okay, that explains to me why there was this laughter, because that was the beginning of his speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? he opened it with that.
So he opened with that, because I was thinking, wow, that was probably kind of nervous laughter, but it was the beginning. They didn't know what he was about to unleash on them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're watching it in our office. I'm in this studio, and I'm getting the impression, I need to turn on Fox and see what's going on here. And you're saying, your quote was, I believe, Trump is tearing the UN a new one at the UN,
mm-hmm,
right in front of them. And I think that's what was happening.
And then he just spent 55 minutes blistering them, basically saying, what are you good for? Why do we spend this much money? You know, why are we the cash cow of this, alongside China, by the way? And you're not ending any wars. If anything, it seems you're creating more strife around the world and trying to dictate social policy in countries with completely different cultures all around the world. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're destroying Western countries with unfettered mass immigration from third world countries. Your own people, your own countries are going to die from this. He made it very clear. Here was part of it.
It's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. Let's see, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell.
He is really good at it. Remember the last time he made massive UN news at the UN was when he had all of the world leaders surrounding him, and he was telling them that Russia was going to take advantage of selling so much fuel to the rest of Europe, and that you need to become less dependent on Russian energy. He ended up being completely right about that as they invaded Ukraine a few years later. And as far as ending wars, he said, I've done a lot more than you guys have. You should get me on the line.
In a period of just 7 months, I have ended seven unendable wars. It's too bad that I had to do these things instead of the United Nations doing them. What is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential, but it's not even coming close to living up to that potential.
So just blistered them. He had a meeting with Zelensky, and I think another massive piece of news from last night is that Trump says he believes Ukraine can fully reclaim all of the territory it's lost to Russia, I think including Crimea. After meeting with Zelensky, Trump posted on Truth Social, Ukraine with EU and NATO support is positioned to, quote, win all of Ukraine back in its original form. Cited Russia's economic struggles, suggested that once the citizens of Russia grasp the war's toll, Ukraine could go even further than that, is what Trump said. Zelensky confirmed Trump shared U.S. intelligence on Russia's economy and said their positions are now closer than ever. And also he urged NATO nations to shoot down any Russian aircraft that violates airspace and hinted at future tariffs if Moscow resists further peace talks. A lot going on from Trump yesterday.
Yeah. Anything and everything. He got it off his chest for sure. I didn't realize the role the United Nations has been playing in that immigration and the migrants in Europe. They actually play a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
A financial role. 8:51, Dan and Dalton. Jeff Poor on the way. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings. The next show up is the Jeff Poor Show.
That's correct. And we'll be tuned in. Hopefully you will be as well. Jeff Poor joins us right now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
So, here we are, mayor-elect of Mobile, Spiro Chiarigotis, and I think maybe the most surprising thing from last night, voter-wise, is how many more people turned out for the runoff, Jeff, than the August 26th general. About 8,000 more voters, give or take a few hundred. Pretty wild.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also would say this. I think it's a lot closer than I would have thought. I was surprised how Drummond... Because the perception was I figured she would lose by about 5 to 7 points, but she made it much closer. And you got to look at it. I mean, Chiarigotis, he had the money. He had all the resources for her to be as close as it was there at the end. I know she had a lot of out-of-town come in at the very, very end.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helped. I don't even know if that helped. And
I think it did. I think that's why it was close. I think that swung it 4 points or so. Huh. But I mean, that's just my wild, you know, kind of guess.
Yeah, Chiarigotis had the money, and he needed every dime, Jeff.
He did, and I mean, Mobile's a hard city to win if you're running in that lane. And he pulled it out, though. I mean, a W is a W.
Yep,
it sure is. You know, a big part of the conversation yesterday during voting was about this provisional ballot, and a lot of people, including Dan, had to fill out provisionals after being told they were inactive voters yesterday. You guys were all over it, and I know a big part of that is because we hear from voters all day long, and you were responding during the show, but 1819 has the best write-up of kind of what went down and getting response from the city yesterday.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of finger-pointing, and because Eric Thomas, who did the story for us, and, you know, I was kind of watching her work on it, and she'd call the city, and they would blame the Secretary of State. Secretary of State would blame the Board of Registrars, and no one knew what was going on. And then finally they figured it out, and it had something to do with the clerk. But you know, the deal with this is like, number one, it's unacceptable.
Yes.
And number two, these guys spend more time trying to figure out who they're going to blame for these screw-ups than they do actually solving the problem.
So if it's unacceptable to you, I'll tell you what, It was unacceptable to me. I was pretty ticked off because it was just a month earlier at that same polling place. There wasn't a problem. I was there was no talk of me being an inactive voter.
Well, Dan, how many politicians over the last 5 years have you, I, Dalton, Sean interviewed to come on and preach about the virtues of election integrity and how they're going to get the elections right and pat themselves on the back about how awesome our elections are in this state? And if something happens like that, and then you see sort of the wheels in motion, well, it's not my fault. And I'm really underwhelmed by our response here.
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating yesterday for sure. Who do you have coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today?
We'll kick out Parker Griffith here in a little while, the official Democrat response on the Jeff Poor Show. Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday. Then Travis Johnson for Pathway Church calling in. He's at the UN General Assembly in New York, but we'll talk to him about that and the Mobile mayoral race.
So I had that happen to me, and then I'm on my way back to the studio, and I'm listening to your show, and you're talking about that exact same thing, and you're responding to the text line where evidently people were letting you know they were having some of the same problems, right?
Yeah, that, and we got some emails on my 1819 news account that, I mean, it was more widespread than maybe, you know, people, you know, would have thought.
Thank goodness my feelings, everything was raised, because when I came back, we had Dalton's Mexican-themed 34th birthday party in the back. And that helped my spirits out a little bit.
You just go there and bash that pinata around a little bit. let it out.
You're a voting register.
Blow some steam.
By the way, your tacos are in the mail, Jeff. They should be arriving today.
Yeah. I don't want to give that. I don't want to grade out the tacos from that new place next door, but they could have done better.
8:58. Jeff, we'll be listening. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, 251-343-0106. Keep that text line rolling for Jeff. Don't stare too long at the stalled Cybertruck on the Bayway. You don't want to cause your own accident. Just drive right on by.